like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30, right here in the Business Radio X Network studios. We got Ryan Redhawk, who's always with us on the mic. And thank you for doing
yes.
that, by the way.
Yes.
Take us through the opening. Now, the Shrimp Tank, just for those who have never listened to the show before, we've been doing this for about a year, and it is blowing up in the city of Atlanta. We get stopped all the time. People asking, well, what is the Shrimp Tank? Well, on the Shrimp Tank, we bring in business owners and CEOs, some of the most successful in the state of Georgia, and we talk about the do's and don'ts of growing, running, and starting a very successful business. From time to time, we get some kids in here from Kennesaw State University. They bring in their ideas, the future entrepreneurs of tomorrow. And we find out ultimately whether or not their business will swim or whether it will sink in the tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkin, coming here live every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks. They call him the professor. What's the good word today? I really haven't seen you in a while. So
it's
I'm wondering what's happening at Kennesaw State. For those of you that don't know this, by the way, Kennesaw State is killing it underneath Chris Hanks' leadership right now. It is now officially called the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I know this because they just asked me for more money. And the thing that I wanted to say is that it's an unbelievable program. Your kid literally right now can go to college and will be able to get a degree in being an entrepreneur, which is amazing. So what's going on right now with this whole KSU 100?
So today, I'll be rushing out of the studio, actually with our guest, who is going to help judge and destroy some self-esteem and some GPAs as we evaluate our top three from the class. So we do an in-class version of KSU Top 100. And so everybody who takes our introductory course in entrepreneurship, which is about the mindset of an entrepreneur, participates in KSU Top 100, where we take 100 student businesses. We start with 100, we eliminate down to one, and the winner gets $100,000 in a competition described
$100,000?
As $100,000.
Wow. That's some big bucks.
Yeah. And it's a competition best described as Shark Tank meets The Voice, where they get the mentorship of these rock stars in entrepreneurship in a Shark Tank type of environment. So we've got that going on today in the class where the top three will compete. One of the top three we had as a guest on the show, she was one of the student guests who helped interview Allie,
is that right?
Allie, sorry. Who not only was impacted by Lee Heisman's advice as a business owner, but she actually told me yesterday she's changed her entire style because of Lee Heisman.
Is that right? Does that mean she's wearing cargo shorts and a t-shirt?
She's doing the t-shirt coat thing. She's really liking that. Yes. So
apparently,
she's going to be showing up today in the t-shirt and the coat thing.
He's got on a life jacket today. Like he's like somehow the cruise ship turned over in the middle of the Mediterranean. He's going to be floating around for a while. If he had one more little strap on the side to pull it out and give him a little bit of light, he'd look like a Delta seat or something like that. They pulled right out of there and went to the water. Now, I want to know, and I bet listeners do want to know this. Now, we're going to get to our guest today. We're really excited having on Terry. We have a real doctor in the house, Doc Dockery,
real doc.
Who's on today. Who's
not one who just plays one on a podcast like myself.
That's right. Or played Doc Brown in Back to the Future or anything like that. But he's the president of the Business Psychology Company. So I guess we're going to be interviewing him and he's going to be psychoanalyzing us at the same time. But I'm curious to know in here, what was the worst idea that you saw in the KSU 100? Because I'm sure a lot of kids think they have good ideas. Some of them, I'm not going to say that they did too many bong hits, but something happened along the way. Because you know kids don't do that at KSU.
No.
Not that we know of.
Not at all.
But the reality is that there were probably some really bad ideas. Now, what was the worst idea that you saw?
Wow, that's a tough one. The worst idea.
I can't believe, what did I stump you this early in the show?
You pleaded. This is one where I want to plead the fifth myself.
There's no pleading the fifth for you.
Really,
you don't even
get, because there's so many.
You don't even get a pass.
The one that I think about the most, the one that I thought was the most funny is we have students who come and they'll pitch me actually in my office and they'll come interrupt. And this one guy kept wanting to secrete positivity. And I told him, I said, those two words should never belong together ever.
What is?
And I never really understood what his whole goal and his business was going to secrete positivity. Now, I still don't know after about a 20-minute meeting what his business does or what he's intending to do other than secrete positivity. I said, okay, number one step, first advice, two words, never together. Different way of communicating that. Do not secrete positivity. We don't want to do that.
No.
So
oh my gosh.
That was probably the worst.
I'd say what I thought was the worst because I was being kind and then I never returned the kids' phone calls. I felt bad. Not really, but I did feel bad for a minute and then I left and then I didn't feel so bad. But he had these candles that were like a Cracker Jack box.
Oh, the
like,
candles.
You know,
yeah,
on Cracker
yeah,
Jack, that. They had the thing where you'd eat and then you eventually get a little prize. It'd be something that you would lose a few minutes later. And then basically what it was a candle. And then when it melted down, you got like a piggy bank, you know, something to put in your goldfish tank. It was something like that. And I thought, poor child, I will be kind to you and let you think this is a half good yes. idea. Then when you fail the first time on your own, you'll eventually come up with a better idea.
Absolutely. You know? But that's how we grow as entrepreneurs. You know, there's this principle called the corridor principle is like states that as we start walking down this hallway, we'll see all of these other doors of opportunity open. But we never would have seen those doors had we not started walking down that original corridor. So in the same way, like the kids with the candles or these stupid ideas, you know what? They're 18, they're 20, they're 22. But by starting, they have to get started somewhere. And the hardest thing about getting started sometimes is actually getting started. And so, you know what? Even if it's a bad idea, by having programs like KSU Top 100, they'll discover themselves like, wow, that idea is not working. I'm having a difficulty selling this. Okay, great. Now you're closer to what does work. Sometimes the best way to get a great idea is to come up with 300 bad ones, right?
You know? They've said a lot of times that the best thing to do is take a C product to market quickly, then wait to make it an A product.
No doubt.
And eventually see how it works. Well, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's not only the executive director, but the founder of the newly formed Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, the first school in the entire state of Georgia that will have an accreditation in entrepreneurship. Parents, kids, you ought to check it out at some point. Now, I'm going to bring in our guest in a second here, Terry Doc Dockery. But I did want to make a shout out here to our board operator and the man that runs the studio, Ryan Redhawk, because I saw on Facebook, and I was very, very curious about this, Professor Hanks, that he won like what looked to be, and I'm seeing it today, and it's like an Emmy Award for the best host.
Oh my gosh. Yes, there is an actual
now
award.
What is this? How right. does one win the best host on the Business Radio X Network?
Well, thank you, Ted, for the recognition and such as, you know, as working here has led me to being able to host my own show called Veterans Connect Radio. Where we feature veterans in entrepreneurship, business and outreach here in the Metro Atlanta area. We've done 20 episodes this year. And so Stone and Lee, the founders of Business Radio X Network, presented me this award this week out of nowhere, and I got best host.
That is fantastic.
So for the work that I do. So please do, you know, if you know anyone wants to be on that program, an entrepreneur, a veteran, send them our way, veteransconnectradio.com. We'd love to feature them on the show in 2017.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. I love you all. Thank you.
Wow.
Hanks, do you think that we need to change our name and make some stage name next year so we get an opportunity to participate in the host awards that we can't go as Ted Jenkins and Chris Hanks? I'm changing mine to Dirk Diggler. I'm thinking that's how I'm going to go next year.
Okay, great.
He's got alliteration. He's got Ryan Redhawk.
If I go
to Dirk Diggler, won't I get a better chance of being able to win the award or no?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have
that's good branding.
Google Ryan Redhawk, I will be no one else out there with that name. My name, birth name, Ryan McPherson. It's not a secret. If you Google that, there was a guy who started bum fights years ago and got a lot of trouble for it, and he's all over Google if you do that. So I had to change my name quickly when I wanted to get into radio. But thank you so much for the recognition, and thank you, Business Radio X, for giving me the opportunity.
That's awesome stuff. Ryan always does a great job. Well, we're excited today to have on Terry Doc Dockery, who's the president of the Business Psychology Company. And I saw this on here and I was reading a little bit about your bio, but how did you get into this business of building a psychology company? What is that exactly?
Well, so the beginning is you need to grow up in a really strange family, which makes you want to study psychology, right? And then I paid my way through school selling men's clothes and was really good at it and loved it. And then when I discovered there was a field called industrial organizational psychology, which is psychology applied to business settings, I thought, that's it, brother. And the rest is history, of course.
Wow. So you spend a lot of your time making CEOs happier. And I'm curious about that. And one thing that I often say, because actually studies prove it, students who major or minor in entrepreneurship statistically tend to be happier than their peers within 5 years of graduation. And I'm curious, like, what do you do to coach somebody or to actually make them happier other than help them make more money?
Well, so we educate them about the six major sources of happiness. And we, it's a metric, right? You can rate them 0 to 10 and see where you're lacking getting your.
Are there six major sources of happiness? I didn't realize that.
Well, of course.
I was thinking Sports Center and a beer at about 11 yeah, o'clock.
That's two.
Yeah, of them,
you got two of the
two.
You got four more to go. There.
So. Ice cream, three, you know. What's the six major sources of happiness?
Okay, so the first one is a caring relationship with yourself, liking yourself, right? Okay, I mean, that's...
Well, and me are down on that already. Yeah, God, so I'm one down.
You guys will be, you're a therapist's dream, right? So that's one. And then there's good health. Then there's caring relationships with other people, right? We're pack animals. We're biologically wired to form close relationships with other folks. And so, and then there's making a difference in the lives of others. That's a major source of happiness. And how many have we got? Where am I?
Four. I thought I heard four.
That's four. Two more.
Four good ones.
I'm trying to remember.
I'd believe whatever two you told me anyway. You can tell me any two. They'd be good.
Well, there's making a difference in work that's challenging and interesting, right?
Like that makes
being,
sense.
Like being an entrepreneur. How cool is that? You get to be your own boss and follow your passions. And then the last one is money. You make enough money that you don't have to worry about it. And for some reason, they came up with $75,000 a year. They figure after about $75,000 a year, you don't get a whole lot more joy.
I saw that.
Money.
I did see that study.
Yeah,
they said
I saw that too.
$75,000 is where it clicks off at happiness.
The research from Positive Psychology. And you can have a nicer car and you can go to nicer places for vacations, but you can't have more than one spouse.
Apparently, that means everybody in Johns Creek is not happy. Nobody that lives there
it's
is
like,
happy.
You can't have more than one spouse. I mean, keeping one woman happy is enough, okay? I mean, trying to keep six happy would be too much. You see what I'm saying?
That's true.
My daughter lives in Utah. I'm sorry. It was on my mind. So it turns out that the money piece, which we're focused on because we're in the business, right? Everybody understands that's how we feed our families. But you want to have enough money to pay your bills and some left over for fun. But after that, the real joy in life comes from the kind of things Chris does, right? Following your passions and making a difference in the world and enjoying the ride, right?
So out of the six, where do you think business owners struggle the most?
The relationship with themselves.
Really?
In the sense that, so I'm in the high achiever market, right?
Yeah.
If you're not a high achiever, honestly, you wouldn't be working with me probably. So these are men and women who tend to get focused on achievement. They tend to put achievement ahead of enjoyment, and the CEO career arc, right? You spend the first half of your career getting wealthy. You spend the second half of your career paying off your ex-spouses and trying to buy your health back. So that's the typical.
Keep your ego in check, I bet, is a big part of that.
Well, I like this. I like this first one that you talked about. You really talk about caring about yourself, because I do find that there are a lot of people, and I'm wondering what you do when you work with the CEO, that they may not be very self-aware. I found that people that aren't self-aware aren't really good at self-managing or managing others. But how do you help a CEO or somebody like that start to care about themselves more? Because there are some owners that just want to please and do everything for everybody, but they really don't care about themselves very much.
Well, yeah, and it depends on the leader. I actually spend more time teaching alpha males emotional intelligence than I do caring people how to be more assertive. I mean, and so it depends on the need of the person, but it's all about balance, right? We give them a roadmap. All right, so in the last year, I've helped 3 CEOs double their self-confidence in less than a week. As an example. Now, those tend to be the guys that are hard on themselves and too kind to other people. That's really easier to fix, in my experience, than somebody who's had a lot of success. I don't know if you have you ever seen the Jack Welch grid?
Yeah.
The values results. People who've gotten results from being tough and hard driving, all that sort of thing, to teach them better emotional intelligence, people management skills tends to be a bit more challenging. They don't take coaching as easily.
So yeah, I read recently that, you know, they say for every rise in a point in your EQ or your emotional intelligence, I guess the emotional intelligence quotient, every single point translates into at least $1,300 in annual income. You know, if you can increase that. But I don't see how you could, how do you coach somebody to be more self-aware or all of those things that are just real difficult to sort of teach, right? Because if I'm unaware and you're pointing it out and you're holding the mirror up to me, I still don't see that sometimes.
So people change when the pain of changing becomes less than the pain of staying the same, right? So first you have to deliver the pain, and which is usually a 360 feedback or some kind of mechanism. And you got to pitch toward what they care about, which is financial results, right? I mean, we're not going to say, hey, you need to be warm and fuzzy. That's not going to go anywhere. We're trying to get financial results. Let's harness happiness to get better financial results. So you do like a 360 feedback instrument where they start to see that everything they're doing is not working quite as well as they thought in terms of getting financial results. Now you got their attention. Then they say, well, geez, how do I change this? And we lay out a plan, do a little training, you know, bop, bop, bop. Here's, you know, there are two major factors to success in leadership. The majority of the variance is accounted for by a factor called consideration, which means you care about the people that follow you, right? You're not going to follow somebody who you don't think cares about you. You think it'd be financial acumen or something like that, but it's not. It's about people feeling cared about. The second one is initiating structure, which is less important, but still, which is, you know, coming up with a plan, executing it, yada, yada, yada. So once you convince somebody that by improving their emotional intelligence, they'll get better results, then you got some leverage to start trying new things. We'll set some goals and some metrics. I'm available. My clients, if I'm not available immediately, I return all my phone calls in less than 2 hours. You get immediate coaching.
Yeah.
So Woody Allen had a psychiatrist that followed him around on the set in his early years because he's one of the most neurotic people around, right? But very creative, very bright. And he literally had a guy on staff.
He is neurotic, that's for sure.
He could turn to the guy and get instant therapy, like, oh, feeling a little neurotic. Well, I'd do the same thing with my clients, right? They get what they need when they need it.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. We come into you live 11:30 to 12:30 every single Thursday. Thanks for joining us during your lunchtime if you're taking it early. You can always catch an entire replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com or download the show on iTunes. Something great to listen on in the car, on the way to work or the way home to get this education from very successful entrepreneurs. We're sitting here today with Terry Doc Dockery, who is the president of Business, the Business Psychology Company, works with a lot of CEOs, helps them figure out how to become happier and more productive in their lives. And I'm wondering for the entrepreneur that's out there today, have you noticed from all of the CEOs and entrepreneurs that you've worked with, are there characteristics that are truly necessary for somebody to be a successful entrepreneur?
Well, I would think so. For starters, if you like control, right? Control is a good thing because then nobody else can come along and screw it up. So I mean, you're always going to have relationships and support and so forth. But if you're the final decision maker, that's somebody who has that initiative, kind of independent thinking, creative. And then the relationship skills are hard to underestimate in terms of its importance. But it's usually someone who has that desire to think for themselves and find their own way as opposed to let someone else structure their environment.
Yeah, because, like, well, you mentioned the relationship because I've heard that quote, which I really like, you know, the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your relationships. And that's true both in business and personally. But, like, how would you coach somebody? Is there something tactical, something tangible that you could do to enhance your relationships? If that's an area that you're struggling, either your personal relationships or your professional ones, what's something that somebody can actually act on to improve that?
Well, I guess that's that's the old sales question. Well, geez, Chris, could you be a little more vague? So it depends on the challenge, right? But if you're looking to enhance a relationship, to me, once you've decided you want to do that, you want a better relationship, and then we would come up with a plan about. So how do you approach this person? I mean, the simplest answer would be, gosh, you know, I'd love a better relationship with my son-in-law. right?
Yeah,
I would. I mean, he's new, and I he's kind of nervous. He's the weird doctor coming in the house and all that kind of stuff. So you say, well, you know, I'd really like a better relationship. You know, what can I do? How can I, you know, what can I do that would be helpful to you? You know, what, you know, I would hope he might want to tap my business expertise or whatever. I'd love for him to ask for parenting advice. That probably won't happen. Yeah, we have a brand new granddaughter as of 2 weeks
yes,
ago.
Yes, that's right. Congratulations. Right. Yes, right. Excited. Yes. That's so awesome. That's your first grandchild, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yes.
I got an email from a good friend, a guy you're going to meet with in a couple of weeks, and it was addressed to Gramps.
No, so
I don't know if I'm going to get used to
Grandpa
that.
Grandpa Doc.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you reach out to somebody like Stephen Covey, who's my probably my role model. The idea is, you know, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Yeah. So I'd go to say, man, you're a really cool guy. I really like to get to know you better. You know, what can I do for you? Right. That's the basic approach.
Well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors and just hear from them for a second. And when we get back right here in the Shrimp Tank, we're going to get into our second segment where we talk about what is hot and what is not. And while we've got a doctor in the house, I want to find out, is it a good idea for a CEO to be seeing a shrink? We'll hear about that right back when we get here on the Shrimp Tank.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Oxygen Financial. Does this seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now's the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member, FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra. Back to you, Ted.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Everybody, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. Again, we come to you live Thursday right here at the Business Radio X Network. Every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30. Again, you can always catch a replay of the entire broadcast and the first segment that we have with Doc here. You can get it right there on shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I feel so good when I say that. Things, such great things are happening down there. Now, I want to ask both of you guys, before we get into our hot or not segment on here, I had read an article recently about entrepreneurs, and there's sort of this debate now about whether millennial entrepreneurs are so focused on the living in the present that they're not as focused on what they need to be doing for long-term goals. And I was wondering, like, sort of this, since we're having a psychological discussion here before I beat up every millennial employee that I have, is it, by the way, that was not threatening. Is that, you know, is that a bad idea? You know, is it a bad idea for people to live in the moment, you know, than versus focusing on long-term goals? Or what are you seeing, Chris, from the kids that come into the school today? Is that just the here and now is the way that it is?
Yeah, it's a struggle, I think, because it's a generation that grew up with more immediate gratification than the previous generation. You know, like I get things instantly. I can download, why would I wait for a show? I can see it, you know, on demand. And so I demand it right now. So this idea of delaying gratification and saying, look, I'm willing to sacrifice today to build a better tomorrow. That's a very entrepreneurial mindset, but that's harder for a younger generation who's gets everything at the click of a finger, and their attention spans are actually shorter than a previous generation.
Right.
You know, it's about 7 seconds, which is about, I think, the attention span of a goldfish. So it's getting worse, and because there's constant bombarding for that attention, and attention's getting to be such a precious resource. So getting people to say, look, okay, you know what? I want you to have a vision for the future that produces passion within you so that, you know what? Yeah, you can go home tonight and binge watch Netflix, or you could be working on your dream. So what is worthy to you? What means more to you than watching Netflix? What do you get? What would you get more excited about working on tonight than just, you know, binge watching your favorite show? And communicating in those kinds of contexts, I think it resonates more with students.
So here's my hot or not for Doc, which is hot or not, delayed gratification, because that seems to be the phrase word, you know. Is that hot or not?
When you say hot or not, you mean...
I mean, is it a good idea or not a good idea? I mean, should I be living in the present, or should I work really, really hard to delay my gratification for the future?
Could you be a little more vague? No, so the balance thing, right? It's the balance thing. So what I'm pitching, if somebody's going to change their behavior, it's only going to be because there's some clear advantage. So when I say, oh, I was just talking to a guy before I came here, right? Okay, do you sell those diamonds for 10% profit quickly, or do you hold out and get a 300% profit 6 months down the road? Well, either one's fine, you know. But
right.
So I'm saying you need some of both. I think being in the, I'm the proud owner of three millennials, and they're all very cool people. So so I mean, you want to, you know, what we look at the options. That's what strategic planning is about. We brainstorm the options. We look at the pluses and minuses and say, okay, I can wait 6 months to make a whole lot more profit.
Yeah. And, you know, they say people are happier on Fridays than they are Sundays, because there's something about that anticipation, the looking forward to nature. So if I perceive myself on the way up, I can be more happy. So that delayed gratification, like, look, yeah, I'm sacrificing today, but boy, next month or next year, look where my life will be, versus when I'm at the top, I tend to not be as happy. And we know that from talking to existing business owners, right? They tend to talk about the glory days of building the business as much as that true. Tends to be so, you know, nostalgic. You forget all the hardships, right? You say, oh, but when I was moving up, that sense of progress and momentum, I think we're wired for.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And one of the things I ought to pitch is this, the first chapter of my book, which I ought to at least mention, harness happiness, right? If you include the drive for survival, is like the most powerful force on the earth. And if you're not harnessing that for business success, well, you're missing a huge opportunity. So any of the book is Leadership, Happiness, and Profit, 12 Steps to a High-Performance Business. It was an Amazon number one seller for a little
Congratulations.
While. Congratulations. So you can go out on Amazon and get that if you like what we're talking about here today. But so it's just a really powerful force that's underutilized. And if you don't get the emotional intelligence piece and the relationships piece of business, you know, so what do you need for a successful business? A good product. You don't even need a great product. You need to make more money than you spend, and you need to build strong relationships. It's just a huge opportunity if you don't leverage it.
You know, along those lines of emotional intelligence, you know, here's the hot or not. I had a friend of mine, I think the name of the book that he wrote was called Social Intelligence. Hmm. And his name is Doug Lenick. And is that a hot or not? Like, do you need to not only have emotional intelligence, but do you need to have social intelligence?
Well, sure. I mean, it's about the real, you know, we're pack animals, right? That we're hardwired to build relationships and business. Amazon, as an example, I've never met Jeff, but they have built a strong relationship with me.
Right. You give them their credit card, they dump you upside down and take money from you.
There you go. And I get my stuff.
That's how it works.
I've gotten three deliveries in the last week. You know, they've done a great job.
I will say, as a side note, Doc, I think one of the big issues that's out there now is I think there's a real problem with people at home because they don't feel good about themselves, and they shop at Amazon because they want to have a package show up at the door. It's like birthday every day. I got a package. Somebody sent me a gift. I think there's a real yeah. psychological problem in there. I'm not just talking about my wife. I'm saying there's a lot of people that are that have that problem.
So I'm making a note to contact my therapist even as we're talking. So clearly I have a problem I need to address.
Yes.
And I'm going to work with Chris, but we're going to need a whole SWAT team of guys to work with him. So.
Yeah. Well, which leads into my hot or not, which is admittedly a softball, because I already know your stance on this. But you and I were talking about doing CEO roundtables and putting high impact peer groups together so that people can outperform competition. So is that kind of group where you put CEOs in a group, is that hot or is that not?
Oh, that's an awesome idea. It's like... I myself have been a part of a CEO roundtable group or groups for the last 10 years. And it's like having a personal board of advisors it's lonely at the top. You don't know what you don't know. And boy, you learn it quickly if you got some folks you can trust and get good advice from. It's awesome. So if you've got good members and you've got good facilitation, and the facilitator's role is not to be the business guru, but rather to tap the group wisdom, It's an incredible way to accelerate your learning and your business.
Well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors, and we come back with our guest today, Terry Doc Dockery, who is the president of the Business Psychology Company. He's also got a best-selling book on Amazon we learned today that you've got to be able to check out. We're going to talk a little bit about the Plead the Fifth, and I wonder here if we can get a psychologist or somebody who actually analyzes people to plead the fifth on the stand. Only Chris Hanks can do it. You'll learn right here, right after the Shrimp Tank. We'll take a quick break from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have radio at your next trade show or conference? Now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a target audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com.
That's very cool. You can only hear that from Ryan Redhawk on there. Right. I like that. I learned something
here
more
on the Shrimp
today. I heard something more about Redhawk today. Now, where did the name Redhawk came from?
Well, that's going to be coming out in my book, which I'm going to be releasing next year. I'm in the process of writing my life story, Redhawk life story. I'm in the process of doing that. But for the tease, for the audience, I've had it since high school. There's a high school guy that I attribute to the giving of that name, and then he called me that through the years, and it kind of stuck.
Wow.
And then everywhere I've gone since then, and like I said, got into radio, got to have a cool name. So Ryan Redhawk, here we are. Find me on all social media platforms at Ryan Redhawk.
I love it. Again, you can always listen to us all the time by downloading us on iTunes for the Shrimp Tank. Again, listen to us on the way to work, the way home, or at work, whatever may be the case, and learn more about the do's and don'ts of growing and running and creating a successful business. Hearing from the best CEOs across the state of Georgia. We're working with one of the best today that deals with CEOs every day, Terry Doc Dockery. And we get to our section now that we call the Plead the Fifth. And I don't know if we'll get you to plead the fifth today, but we have one opportunity to say, no, I will plead the fifth on that. I want to ask you a number of questions on here, and I'm going to let Professor Hanks kick this off today.
All right. This is a question that I've used on the Shrimp Tank before, but I'm so curious about the doc's response to this. Is what psychological price have you paid as an entrepreneur? And what psychological price, this is the add-on, this actually wasn't asked before, and what psychological price have you seen, like, the people that you mentor and coach struggle with the most?
Oh, that's easy. The unpredictability. You get the creativity, you get the control. But both my parents worked for the state of Georgia. And during the recession, when my business collapsed, if you can imagine consulting in the small business market, and then during the downturn, I was thinking to myself, why the heck didn't I keep that parole officer job? What was I thinking? You know, it's like, I would just yearn for some regular income and some security. And of course, if I'd gotten one of those jobs, as soon as the economy got better, I would have quit, because this is just so much more fun. But, you know, in terms of just the predictability, really, you know, you trade some security for letting somebody else have control in your life.
And how's that impacted you? Lack of predictability?
Do you see these circles under my eyes? It's like, so, and especially if you're passionate about what you do, you know, and I know you struggle with this, you don't want to say no to an opportunity to do what you love,
you're
right?
Yeah.
And so time management becomes just a huge issue. You work for the state of Georgia as the extreme other example. You work whatever the hours are, and you go home and you don't think about it. When you're an entrepreneur, you're usually passionate about what you're doing, and you're thinking about it almost constantly. It's hard not to think about it. So creating that balanced life that you're happy about when you're on your deathbed and you look back and say, man, that was a great ride. Had a lot of fun. There were some ups and downs. You really need the discipline and the skills to self-manage, because you don't have anybody else setting those boundaries for you.
That's true. Cause you know, the number one regret of the dying is not, I wish I would have spent more time with family. That is up there, but that is not number one. The number one regret of the dying is, I wish I would have lived a life that I wanted to live as opposed to the life that others expected me to live.
That's right.
Is that true?
That is true.
Oh, yeah, being true to yourself.
Very nice. Yeah.
Bronnie Ware, from the Huffington Post article, right?
Or there was a book from the woman, I can't remember her name, who worked in the hospice. That's where she got it. But yeah, like, there's that misnomer. Yeah. I wish I would have spent more time with family. Again, that's up there. But it is the number one by far is like, gosh, I wish I would have done something else with my
life. For Lee Heisman, it was, I wish I would have had the triple bypass burger at the Vortex. But that was his dying wish there. I thought maybe, you know.
If you're interested in that, Bronnie Ware is the author.
Is it right? Bronnie Ware? I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, she was a hospice worker, the top five regrets of the dying.
Yeah.
So I've got to plead the fifth. Who's the most eccentric CEO that you ever met?
Ooh, I can't mention names. I mean, aside from
Type
Chris.
I'll wipe industry. That down quickly. Yeah. Huh?
Chris Hanks.
You can just say the business and what it rhymes with.
Is it Flick? No.
Is it Dolores?
I recommend everyone sign up for the Chris Hanks School of Time Management. I think he's over in Romania now. It's like
you like that. Mulva, whatever. Whatever works now. How about is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Well, it depends on what the person wants, right? My wife passed up actually a wealthy guy to marry me because she wanted excitement, and Lord, she got it in spades. So.
Well, I got a question. How about this
All
one?
All right, got it. You're on.
Is it plead the fifth? I guess we're on this section here. We see this from time to time in the studio. Meditation, daily meditation for top performing CEOs. What is your thoughts on that?
Do it every day. It's outstanding, right? It's not, people get confused. It's not religious. It's a focusing, relaxing kind of technique that's powerful.
They got a great app right now called Headspace. I'm serious about this.
Headspace?
It's a great app.
Do you meditate?
It's like a 10-minute meditation deal.
Yeah. You use the app?
I do. Headspace. It's really
so
good.
So it is a good thing then. Yeah.
I teach it to my CEO. I mean, if they're, depending on what they're, goals are
right.
If that's what it's a powerful technique. It's simple. You can feel
Headspace.
You can feel good anytime you want to without, you know, the American ways to take a pill. You don't need any pills, right?
Wow. Okay. So what has been the most embarrassing mistake that you've coached a CEO through?
You mean the CEO mistake or my mistake?
Either one, whichever one is most embarrassing.
Embarrassing CEO's embarrassing mistake.
You could always say the most embarrassing mistake that Chris Hanks made. So. it's a no on that? Or
I'm just trying to, God, there's been so many. Well, I mean, most embarrassing mistake. Right, here's what I'd say. I'm going to sort of slip on... People are feeling beings that think. We are not thinking beings that feel. So feelings drive your actions. I've seen a lot of crazy looking stuff driven by the 6-year-olds around the boardroom, right? So if you got the president, and the VPs in a room, and you don't see a bunch of 6-year-olds sitting around the table, you're missing a lot of important information.
Yeah.
Any good salesperson knows that just thinking just leads to more thinking, but emotions lead to action, right? So Zig Ziglar said people buy on emotion and justify with logic. So you see a lot of weird-looking behavior driven by people's emotional needs, which have very little to do with maximizing, you know, financial outcomes.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, we appreciated you coming on the show today. I will tell you what, it sounds like if you're a CEO out there or you might need some help in thinking about how you can not only learn about how to care about yourself, but care about others and drive and maximize what's happening in your corporation so you can get to number 6, which is money. How can people learn more about you, your company, or get a copy of your book?
So the copy of the book, Amazon.com. And then my website is businesspsychology.com, and there's good info there. And people can always call, right? I love to chat with folks. If anybody's interested in learning more, we'll have coffee, and then I give a free day of call it a checkup with the doc.
What percentage of CEOs do you think have a shrink?
Are you putting me? You're calling me a shrink?
I'm not saying you're a shrink. I'm just wondering how many people have a shrink. Is it more than half?
That's a good, I don't know. They ought to, I know most CEOs need a shrink. That is a stressful way to live, brother.
That's true. Let me tell you what. I've been thinking about it this whole show. I'm going to
I mean, think about it. What's more important than happiness? So we've helped several companies double their revenue in pretty record time. How do you do that unless you're happy and productive, for goodness sake?
Yeah, fun and success are definitely correlated.
I mean, you know what I mean? That's that passion and productivity, right?
Well, for those of you listening today, you definitely have to catch a post-show wrap-up when you see it on YouTube and learn more from the doc and 3 questions we're going to ask him and maybe a couple that you didn't even hear on the show. And next week, when we bring you the Shrimp Tank, we're going to bring you Parrish Kohanim. Now, how about this? How about somebody who takes Cirque du Soleil actors and actresses, shoots them in a very interesting way photography-wise like you've never seen before, and then builds a business out of it. Amazing, amazing stuff. A Canon photographer. You're all here right here next week on The Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.